Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today we are talking about birds and rats and what is killing them. A bald eagle died at a veterinary hospital on the Cape last week, and the suspected cause of death? Professional-grade rat poison. Not an isolated incident, either. Last month at Faneuil Hall, an owl nicknamed Owen fell ill after being exposed to a type of blood-thinning poison that is called second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. And there is an acronym, ESCARS. Zach Mertz is CEO of the New England Wildlife Center. He's part of a push to better track the use of ESCARS in Massachusetts. Joins us now in Studio 2. Welcome, Zach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I want to start with this Arlington eagle. So the eagle died on the Cape. It was nesting and had hunted in Arlington. And tell us what we think happened to the eagle and how the town reacted.
Sure. So this is a very well-known eagle known as MK. And her mate, KZ, frequented the Mystic River watershed for years. And, you know, just being in such a central location, they've attracted a lot of fans and a lot of bird watchers, and people follow them pretty closely. And so I guess it was last week, we get a call that MK was not feeling so well. She was down on the ground, and some local folks had captured her and transferred her to our hospital. And, yeah. You know, so we took in MK, and our veterinary team at the New England Wildlife Centers looked her over. Could see she was really weak, lethargic, unable to lift her head. And so in an effort to try to stabilize her and figure out what was going on, we also drew some blood, did our diagnostics. And our going theory and what we suspect is that there was some exposure to these ESCARS or anticoagulant rat poisons. You know, and when they get into the body of an eagle like that or a hawk or an owl or a fox or whatever it may be, they thin the blood and they make it, you know, really hard for the body to clot normally. And so it can turn something as simple as a bump or bruise or scrape into a catastrophic injury. And so poor MK is, you know, was affected by this. And we did our best to save her. But unfortunately, she did not make it.
And the town has really responded.
Yes, there's been an incredible outpouring of support, not just for MK, but for better reporting on ESCARS and maybe even a ban on ESCARS in the state. You know, as I mentioned, she was really well-loved in the Boston area. And so a lot of people were familiar with her and even felt some ownership over her habitats and sort of life because they've been photographing her and tracking her. So the folks at Arlington specifically really showed up and you know, voiced their concern for not just MK, but for the wildlife in general.
So we have this fascinating situation, Zach, where we've got the beloved and the reviled, right?
Yeah.
And a poison being used on the reviled, which is our rat population, and having this potential impact on the beloved, which in this case is MK, the eagle. How did we get to the point where we are using these things called ESCARS? And my understanding is that they're fairly widely used commercially as a preferred approach to killing rats.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, humans and rats have coexisted for thousands of years. As long as we've been, you know, living inside homes, rats have probably been a problem and truthfully can be a public health concern for anyone living in a home. You don't want a huge rat population because it can affect your health or your family's health. And so there's always been this push and pull struggle to control them. And, you know, as the rat populations grew and the different methods evolved, we've found ourselves now using these second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides, or ESCARS. And they're in use because they're cheap and effective.
And they take a while to kill the rat, which means something that eats that rat while it's got the poison in its body is also ingesting the poison.
Exactly. And so these are reasonably slow acting in the world of poisons, meaning 3 to 5 days on average for a rat to die. So
isn't that cruel?
You know, it's probably not the best way to go, honestly. But, you know, there's a reason behind it, and that's that folks don't want a rat or mouse dying in their walls and smelling up the house. And so oftentimes, you know, these guys get sick. They're not feeling well. They sort of scoot out of the house or look for shelter. And you have a hawk or an owl, or, you know, in this case, we suspect an eagle, thinking they have a really easy lunch right in front of them. A sick, slow-moving animal doesn't take a lot of energy to catch. And all of a sudden, the predator has ingested the poison as well. And in a lot of cases, what we see happen is, you know, the hawk or owl or whatever it is, they're not feeling well now because their blood's not clotting efficiently. And so they can't hunt effectively. And so the next mouse or rat they can afford to catch may be another sick one. And you see this.
So this compounds.
Exactly. So you see a cycle of poisoning and dosing and redosing. So we're not sure if that's what happened in MK's case, but it's certainly something we've witnessed before.
We're talking with Zach Mertz of the New England Wildlife Center about this tension between approaches to poisoning and killing rats and animals that ingest those rats while they're dying and then get poisoned and killed themselves. I want to come back to the eagles for a minute because I think, you know, many are aware the bald eagles were endangered. They're, you know, the U.S. bird, they were endangered in New England. It came from DDT. Was a big cause of the death of birds. But there had been a rebound. As of 2018, according to Mass Wildlife, 76 territorial pairs of bald eagles were identified in Massachusetts. Before 2012, they had been endangered. Now they're just special concern in the state. Are we talking about something that could be a threat to the rebounding of the eagle population?
I mean, so we've seen a pretty incredible conservation effort by Mass Wildlife to bring the population back. And, you know, as a Charles and Mystic, as our environments have improved, we see a pretty robust eagle population, which is super encouraging. I mean, anything like this that, you know, can go through a population and we know is reasonably ubiquitous, I think can be a threat. But realize eagles, you know, their primary food source is fish. When you get an eagle that overlaps with an urban setting, of you know, they may eat mice or rats, like we're starting to see. But we're hoping that this particular poison isn't so much an issue for the eagle populations, but it is something we see constantly, week in, week out, with owls and hawks and fox. A lot of things.
Coyotes?
Coyotes as well. Yeah, anything that would make a lunch out of a mouse or rat, and you know, they're solidly down there at the bottom of our food chain, can get sick from this stuff. And unfortunately, what's happening is, we're taking nature's best rodent control, right? You know, say a great horned owl can probably eat 2,000 mice in a year, and we're making that animal sick. And so instead of working in concert with nature to control rodents and you know, utilizing these animals that are out there doing the job for us, we're unfortunately using a method that can make them sick and set us back as well.
So you want there to be a bill, a law. You want to pass a law.
Right now, we've been working on a law that was put forth by Representative Hawkins, and we see it as a good first step. And it's really aimed at improving the reporting and data sharing around how much of this poison is being used, where it's being used, and who can access it, right? So the first step is we want researchers and decision makers and scientists to have a good understanding of where this stuff is being put out and then be able to correlate that to the things we're seeing in our hospitals and other rehabbers are seeing. And our hope is this, you know, starts the momentum and then eventually maybe something more aggressive like California has tried.
So that's Democrat Jim Hawkins out of Attleboro. I want to play a little sound for you. This is from Leo Bauscher, formerly of Boston Inspectional Services. We talked to him about the rat population last year. Here he is.
All the rats need are food and water. They don't need anything extravagant. It doesn't have to be spring water. It doesn't have to be filet mignon. you know, any type of food refuse, any type of water, puddles, stagnant water, things of that nature will suffice as a food source.
So, I mean, could coordinating with the natural predators be enough? This is like a Terminator, right? Just bam, bam, bam. Could it work?
You know, I think we have to use every tool in our toolbox, honestly. And so leaving the natural predators healthy and out there doing the job they do, I think is a great step because, you know, here in Boston especially, we have wildlife all in our backyard and surrounding us. The hawks, the owls, the foxes, anything that makes use of our land is going to help us in the issue. And certainly, you know, the rats are an issue too. And to his point there, I think one of the best things we can do is make sure that we're you know, making sure trash bins are sealed up. We're using integrated pest management solutions. And when we choose a poison, make sure you're using one that isn't going to affect the other wildlife out there that are trying to help us in the battle.
Perfect. Zach Mertz is CEO of New England Wildlife Center. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.